We'll be continuing our study in John 9, where we have the account of Jesus healing the blind man. After Jesus exposed the man to the physical light, he began to lead him through a series of events that brought him face to face with who Jesus really is. Being able to see with these physical eyes is never enough. We must also come to the place where we are able to see spiritual truth. This is what Jesus Christ did in this account. Notice the progression that this man went through as the light began to dawn in his life. When the people asked the man who had healed them, all he knew was that it was the same person named Jesus Christ. It could have been any of a thousand men, just some man named Jesus. Look at verses 10 through 12 in John 9. Therefore they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed, and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." He was just some man named Jesus. This is where some people are today. All they know is that Christians get all excited about some man named Jesus. But just knowing a little of Jesus, or being able to speak his name, is not enough to save you. Because if you do not know him any better than this, then you do not know him at all. If that is the case, then you will be unable to help others find him also. This is a very limited knowledge, but it is the first step one takes on the road to salvation. In verses 13 through 17, we see the man now say that he is a prophet. When the Pharisees heard of the miracle, they called the blind man to them and tried to get to the bottom of this. Some of them were upset that Jesus had done this miracle on the Sabbath day. They concluded that if he would do something considered to be a work on the Sabbath, then he must be a sinner. They asked the person that had been blind, and he said that Jesus was a prophet. In other words, he is a man to be listened to. This man had listened to Jesus once, and that obedience had resulted in his healing. Therefore, he concludes that Jesus is worthy of being listened to. There are many who have received this much light today. Their opinion of Jesus is that, well, he's a wise man. He's a great teacher. However, before salvation will ever shine the glory of its power deep into your soul, you're going to have to realize that he is far more than one simply showing you the way. You are going to have to come to the place where you see him as the way, the truth, and the life, or you will never be saved. So, first the man realizes he's a prophet. Then in verses 18 through 33, he sees that he is a man of God. Through a series of questions by the Pharisees and some pretty good preaching on the part of this man, he arrives at the conclusion that Jesus is a man of God. So he realizes he's a prophet. He realizes he's a man of God. That is, he's a man to be followed. He even asks the Pharisees if they would like to follow him also. He has come to believe that Jesus is a great man, one who is working and speaking for God. He's right. But he isn't quite far enough. Lost people have to get past Jesus the man and realize that he is also God. He wasn't just a man of God. He was the God-man. We read about that in John 1. verse 1, where we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God." Look at verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." An ordinary man could never have provided salvation to sinners. It took one who was both God and man at the same time to pay the eternal price for our sins and forever set us free from the penalty that was hanging over our heads. You must come to the place where you're willing to receive Christ as God, or you will never be saved. He's more than a teacher, more than a preacher, more than a prophet, more than a miracle worker, or just some poor guy who got himself hanged on a cross. He was and is God in human flesh. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. And then we see that the man comes to the place where he realizes that Christ is the Son of God. Finally, Christ comes to the man personally. And when he does, he reveals his true identity to the man. At this point, the man confesses Jesus Christ as the Son of God and is gloriously saved. This man had progressed from seeing Jesus Christ as one among many, or one to be listened to, or one to be followed. He now sees Jesus Christ as the one who is worthy of faith and worship. He sees him for who he truly is. And the question is, do you see Christ that way? Not only a prophet, not only a man of God, but the Son of God. The conclusion that this man arrives at is either he is the Son of God, as he said, or he is not worthy of our worship and our faith. If he is not the Son of God, then you and I are headed point blank to hell today. If he is not who the Bible proclaims him to be, then we of all men are fools. We are fools. We are to be pitied. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. It tells us there. Give me a moment as I go through this new Bible here. 1 Corinthians, verse 19, we read, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiful." We are most pitiful. If this is it, and if Christ is not risen, our faith is futile, and we are still in our sins. This man's progression leads him from seeing Christ as a good man to seeing him as the God-man. And this is the place where we all have to get to if we ever expect to be saved. And the question is, have you reached this place today? This man refused to bow to the pressure from the religious leaders. He was cast out in the synagogue. Cast out of the synagogue. To us, this may not seem like a big thing, but to a Jewish person, it was devastating. However, this man has probably been blackballed anyway by religion for a long time due to his handicap, due to the fact that he was a cripple. since he wasn't used to their form of worship, let me say it probably wasn't such a big thing to him. From my way of thinking, it was the best way. It was the best thing that could have happened to him. You see, religion has a way of indoctrinating men to a certain way of thinking. And often religious people cannot see Christ for their creeds and their confession. In fact, religion apart from salvation is a dead thing. It will take you nowhere but to hell. Therefore, it may have been in this man's best interest that he was cast out by the leaders. The story is told about a man who claimed that he, quote-unquote, got religion. An old enemy who knew about this man's shameful past heard the news, called him on the phone, and said, "Hey, Joe, they tell me you got religion." "I sure have," came the reply. His friend responded, "Then I suppose you'll be going to church every Sunday." "That's right," he affirmed. "I started 5 weeks ago and haven't missed a service yet." "And I suppose you're going to quit smoking and drinking." "Already have," Joe replied. "In fact, I haven't smoked a cigarette or touched a drop of liquor since." See, this is religion. His friend paused for a moment. Finally, remembering how much money Joe owed him, he said with an intended jab, "I suppose, too, now that you got religion, you're going to pay up all your old debts." As to that point, the man exploded and exclaimed, Now, wait a minute. That's not religion you're talking about. That's business." This is always the problem with religion. It may change the outside, but it can never cure the problem of the heart. A truly converted man has a new heart. He has a new disposition. Now he is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. See, religion will clean up the outside, but it cannot change the heart. It cannot change the heart. Religion has a way of smothering Christ. Let me give you another illustration. A young married couple decided to hold a christening party on the night before their baby's baptism at church. When their guest arrived, the infant was laid on the guest room bed. A few guests came into the room and, not noticing the baby, flung their coats upon the bed. Soon the infant had been completely covered by the heavy coats. The next morning, the newspapers told the tragic account of the baby that had been smothered to death at his own party. Is this what we have done? Have we covered the baby with our religious trappings and distracting political issues? Have we, quote-unquote, got religion? Have we forgotten the main thing? To spread the glorious message of salvation to Christ? Salvation in Christ and Christ alone? Have we smothered the baby in the midst of his own church? Has Christ been smothered? Christ gets smothered by religion. All the trappings of religion, the confessions, the creeds, the church buildings, all of this, the clergy. Never think for 1 minute that your religious activity is going to get you into heaven or into a right relationship with God. I'm not calling you to religion. I'm calling you to Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Salvation is always accomplished by faith and never by the works of the flesh. That's what religion comes down to, the works of the flesh. They ignore what Scripture says about salvation. Galatians 2:16 tells us, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith. Justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. That's what religion does. It teaches salvation by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. The works of the law is man trying to appease God in and of himself, whereas there's salvation in no one and nowhere but in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Not of works, lest anyone should boast. The only thing that saves is faith in Christ. Faith alone in Christ is the only thing that will ever save a man. Romans 4, verse 22 tells us this, "And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." Abraham was justified by faith and faith alone. If you would be justified, it would be by faith and faith alone, not religion. Religion will not save you. Only Christ and Christ alone will save you. Acts 16, verse 31 tells us, "So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household." Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Back to our text. In John 9, verse 25, we read this. John 9, 25. "He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." This man was excited about his life. This man was not a theologian, but he knew what had happened to him personally. He couldn't explain what had happened, but he knew that he met someone who had the power to make an eternal difference in his life. When he looked at where he had been and what Jesus Christ had done in his life, he was excited. He was excited. This is true in the life of every child of God. You may not run around the church building as a crazy man. You may not be doing laps around the church. You may not be raising your hands in the air shouting hallelujah, but if you're saved by the grace of God, you will know it, and you will never get over it. I believe the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ is something to get excited about. The scripture says, "Behold, all things have become new. The old has passed away, and all things have become new." The new man is a new man, a new heart. Now a divine nature that has been implanted in you by God Almighty. That's what I said. Religion just cleans up the outside, but God cleans up the inside. He gives you a new heart, a new mind. He changes your will. Realize this. Regeneration is a supernatural thing. When Christ walked upon this earth, Jesus Christ was in the business of delivering men from darkness, not just physically sometimes, but spiritually all the time. May I say that Jesus Christ is still doing the same thing today. If you've never been saved, you can come to Christ today, and he will bring you out of the darkness and the bondage in which you find yourself. Jesus Christ delivers us from the power of sin. Have you been delivered from the power of sin? Have you come to Christ and Christ alone? Have you come to Christ, as it says in Matthew 11, verse 28? Come unto me. Notice, come unto me. Not to come unto religion, come unto denomination, come unto confession, come unto a creed. Come to me, Christ speaking. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest will comes by Christ and Christ alone. Religion gets you on a wheel that you just keep trying and trying and trying to earn the favor of God, whereas Christ is favored by God. And if you come to Christ, the favor of God towards Christ will become yours. Christ, the shining light. After this man had been cast out by the Jews, Jesus Christ went looking for him. Look at John 9, verse 35. John 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, thrown out of the synagogue. Or today it would be thrown out of some church or some denomination. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, Christ found him. Christ went after him. Christ comes after his people. He comes to his elect. And he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in him, the Son of God? Is this where you find yourself today? Do you find yourself in the arms of Christ? Have you come to Christ? Christ has come to save his people from his sins. It may be the case with you that religion wouldn't have you. Many churches wouldn't want to be around you, and most people wouldn't have anything to do with you. But let me tell you the good news of the gospel. Jesus Christ will save you. Jesus Christ will love you. Jesus Christ will save you by his grace if you will only come to him by faith and ask him. Jesus Christ, in verse 38, we see that the man says, then he said, Lord, I believe. And notice, he worshiped him. He worshiped him and him alone, for Christ is all. The man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. When this man bowed and received Jesus Christ, I'm sure that he forgot about the days of his blindness and the pain of being removed from the synagogue. When he called on the name of Jesus Christ, he was saved eternally and received into a family from which he will never be removed. Would I be speaking to you today, my friend? Are you an outcast? Have you been thrown out by those around you, by your family, by your friends, even by a church or a denomination? Did you realize that what God does in saving the sinner is a forever work? Do you know that your salvation is secure if you have come to Christ? John 10, verses 38 and 39 tells us, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. If you have come to Christ and he has saved you, you will never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. These are the words of Jesus Christ in John 10, verses 28 and 29. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. Greater than all. Greater than confessions and creeds and denominations and religion. Greater than any system. He's greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Hallelujah. This man never expected that he would be healed and saved when he got up that day. I'm sure that he planned to live that day like every other day before in the blackness of darkness. He did not realize that there was a man named Jesus who drove the darkness forever away from him. Many are in that shape today. They are lost and in the depths of great spiritual darkness, and they do not even realize that Jesus Christ can set them free forever. My friend, if you are listening today, come to Christ and he can save you and set you free forever. He can set you free from the bondage of sin. He can make you a new creation if you simply come to him. If you do understand this, then you can feel that this is something for others. And you will begin to tell others the good news. Allow me to remind you today that Jesus Christ is the way, the life, and the truth. All men have been called to come to Christ. And is this the way that you would find yourself today? You're lost. You're lost in your sins. You're in bondage to your sin. The scripture says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That, my friend, is the grace of God. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He will justify you, he will sanctify you, and he will glorify you if you will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall be saved. This man's life was radically changed in a moment of time. In a moment of time, he came to see that Christ was more than a godly man. He was more than a healer. He was more than one great man. He was Jesus Christ, the God-man. And he came to save his people from their sins. Would you know that you are a person of God? That you belong to the people of God? Then come. If you come, he has promised. Come, all ye that are weary, that are heavy laden. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Come to Christ today, and he will open your blind eyes.